Support for KPLU comes from the Shack Art Center, featuring a glass pumpkin patch and glassblowing demonstrations during Shacktoberfest, September 24th through 27th at the Shack Art Center in Everett. More information at Shack, SCHACK.org.
This afternoon, the KPLU studios are filled with some of the finest young jazz musicians in the Northwest. Leading the group, a product of Garfield High's jazz program, then the New England Conservatory and Mills College in Oakland, saxophonist Jacob Zimmerman was named Emerging Artist of the Year by Earshot Jazz in 2013 and has just released his new album, Recording Band. His quintet today includes trumpet player Raymond Larson, Jake Svensson's on piano, with Nate Parker and Evan Woodle at the bass and drums. Please help me welcome the Jacob Zimmerman Quintet.
Thank you.
It's the Jacob Zimmerman Quintet live in the studios here at KPLU. Jacob's brand new record's called The Recording Band, and the band in the studio today includes trumpet player Raymond Larson, Jake Svensson on piano, Nate Parker bass, Evan Woodle at the drums. Great to have you here, Jacob. Sounds fantastic.
Thank you so much. We're very honored to be here.
So it sounds like the world of jazz was almost inevitable for you growing up with, in your family, there were some musicians there. Was it going to be jazz right away, or were they playing other types of music when you were growing up?
Well, both my parents played saxophone, and my father's father played saxophone as well. So I reached a certain point where I just had to say, hey, where's my saxophone? You know, there were a lot of saxophones lying around. So yeah, it was kind of inevitable. I grew up in a very musical family, and my mother, especially when I was growing up, was playing a lot of jazz in a big band. She also played in a pit orchestra for West Side Story, and that was a pretty formative experience too.
Cool. Now you had a really cool experience going off to college, the New England Conservatory in Boston, then Mills College in Oakland, and we have a lot of high school jazz bands and musicians who are just about getting ready to go off to college. What do you think you need to know on your way to college to study jazz? What's the important stuff?
Well, I would say, just be prepared to be very disciplined and practice a lot. And I spent a lot of my college time soaking up a lot of information and experienced a lot of different stuff. And it was also an opportunity that I had a lot of free time to be able to work on my craft. And since leaving college, that's become more and more difficult to find that time. So it's a very precious period in your life, and make sure you really take the energy and try to capitalize on it.
Right on. Nothing to do but play and play some more.
Yeah, as much as possible.
One of the great experiences you had, I think he was teaching in residence at the New England Conservatory and then went to take a position at Mills College, was saxophonist Roscoe Mitchell, more of an avant-garde player in the Art Ensemble of Chicago, really cool stuff. And I wonder how he influenced the way you think about jazz and saxophone.
Yeah, quite a bit. I would say, actually, my background is more in the realm of the avant-garde and free improvisation. I would say as far back as the very first year that I started playing saxophone in sixth grade, I was in touch with a great local saxophonist, Wally Shoup, who is really a mentor to me, and I just played with Wally last weekend. We've been connected all along. So yeah, he turned me on to Anthony Braxton and Evan Parker and Roscoe Mitchell. And I would say that it's actually through that music, especially through Anthony Braxton, that I've gotten more interested in earlier traditional styles of jazz, players like Lee Konitz and Warren Marsh, and kind of seeing the abstraction in what they do, even though they do it within the context of familiar tunes and everything. So from Roscoe, I learned a lot about the saxophone, circular breathing and everything, and he certainly has a great appreciation for all kinds of music. And the Art Ensemble of Chicago, of course, is known for coining the term great black music, which I feel like was very appropriate for them and celebrates a lot of different kinds of music, not just jazz.
So college in Boston, pretty decent jazz scene there. College in Oakland, decent jazz scene there. What brought you back home to play jazz around here?
Well, I just love the quality of life in Seattle. It's such a beautiful place. And both Boston and the Bay Area are coastal cities, but they don't have the omnipresence of water everywhere. You don't get that feeling like you do in Seattle. It's very special. I also knew that I would have an easier time getting work teaching, already being established and from Seattle. This is my hometown, and that was definitely the case. It would have taken me kind of a while to establish myself in a new city. So I'm thankful that I love my hometown, and it became really easy to get started teaching here and working.
Love to hear another song from the band next. What do you got?
We're going to play a ballad now. This is Hoagy Carmichael's Stardust. Thank you.
Jacob Zimmerman on the saxophone. The quintet record is out now. It's called Recording Band. Jacob, tell us about Recording Band, the album, and the concept behind it.
It's called Recording Band because it is all music from the early 40s when there was a union strike against the recording companies. From 42 to 44, around then, very few musicians were making records because of a dispute over royalties. And so this was also the period when swing music was transitioning to bebop, and people like Charlie Christian and Don Byas and Thelonious Monk were kind of incubating this new music. And it wasn't heard by the mass public at that time. But there are some field recordings from jam sessions at Minton's and Monroe's Uptown House. And so that was some of the music that we played. And we also played some of the music from what Miles Davis and many people considered to be the first bebop studio recording with Coleman Hawkins. And he was kind of an important enabler for a lot of the younger generation at that time. He gave Max Roach his first recording date, Thelonious Monk, Oscar Pettifer, Don Byas, Dizzy Gillespie. That's where the tune Wouldn't You came from, that first session in 1944. So yeah, it's a collection of some classic and also obscure tunes from that period.
Jacob, you're familiar with the wide variety of different kinds of jazz music. What is it about this early bebop that compels you?
I love hearing the horn players digging into new things, playing phrases that are very unpredictable, very, you know, jagged, spontaneous lines. But they're still playing with rhythm sections that are very swinging and in the pocket. Drummers like Cozy Cole and Big Sig Catlett and the great Slam Stewart on the bass. I just love hearing that combination of the older generation with the younger generation at that time. It's a really magical moment in jazz history.
Jacob Zimmerman's quintet, new album called Recording Band, great bebop tunes on there. You also are a composer. You work in a trio called Anteater and an ensemble called Lawson, exploring different styles of jazz. And I wonder if you could talk about the importance of being versatile, being able to play other things.
Well, it inspires everything I do, even though some of those things I do may seem like to come from disparate worlds. Playing in those bands, Anteater and Lawson, the unifying thread has always just been melody and learning to play challenging, more modern jazz definitely has shaped the way that I play more traditional jazz. And in this kind of context, the tunes are simple, but we try to stretch out on them as much as we can.
Now, the recording industry has certainly changed in the last few years. Looking back at Recording Band is kind of a fun exercise, but you're also part of a new jazz record label, Tables and Chairs. You're on the board of the record label. Could you tell us about that record label, and what does a board member do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Table and Chairs is a record label that was born out of this long-running series, a session at the Cafe Racer in the Roosevelt neighborhood called Cafe Racer. And every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m., it's kind of a workshop for new improvised and composed music. And after a certain point, Table and Chairs was formed to document some of those projects that were happening, bands like Chemical Clock, which Evan and Ray are in, and my band Lawson. And there's also a new concert series on Second Wednesdays at Vermilion. So Table and Chairs is just about promoting local new creative music.
Fantastic. You're also involved in some, I'm not sure if we call it new music, but new musicians teaching at Garfield, where you went to school, and also working with Seattle Jazz Ed. How has that been for you?
Wonderful. And I am so envious of students today, because 10 years ago when I was in high school, there was no Seattle Jazz Ed. So if you didn't have the privilege of going to a great high school, then you were kind of stuck. Mm-hmm. And there are now places like Egan's Ballard Jam House that's been going, and they are more than happy to host student groups. And the Royal Room is here, too. So I think that it's a better time than I've ever seen it for young musicians to get out there and play.
Fantastic. Let's hear one more tune from this group of young musicians, the Jacob Zimmerman Quintet, live on KPLU.